Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Hi, this is Meghna Chakrabarty, host of On Point. On today's show, we talked about the increasing threat of wildfires in urban areas across the western United States. And we asked this question, are cities in the West prepared for a perpetual fire season? Well, it's hard to adequately describe the intense heat, the hurricane-force winds, the hellish fire that destroyed more than 1,000 homes and structures in Colorado on December 30th. That was the Marshall Fire. It's hard to understand how fast that fire moved, how large it grew, and how deeply it impacted communities until you hear stories like this. Because on December 30th, Cynthia Wallace was at home in Louisville, Colorado.
I looked out the window and I was like, hey, there's an orange cloud out there. And my husband said, yeah, you know, there's a big dust cloud, because it was a windy day. And then we got a text from one of our neighbors saying, hey, there's a brush fire across the highway, just letting you know. And we're like, okay, well, you know, we're in a suburban neighborhood. They're going to go take care of that and put it out, and no big deal. And then the smoke just started getting worse. And around 1 o'clock, my husband was in the backyard just trying to water down our fence in case, you know, some sparks came our way. And he ran inside and said, there's a fire in the yard behind us. Texted my mom and my sister and I said, I'm 90% sure my house is burning down today. And then we went to a hotel where some of our other neighbors had reserved a room just to wait to see what we were going to do. And we turned on the news, and already all the news coverage was of our neighborhood in flames.
Now that we're showing you this, this is McCaslin in Washington, over in Louisville earlier.
We could see the houses, and we knew who they were, and it wasn't just kind of on fire. It was raging.
He tells me, when I asked, was that one house or multiple? He said dozens and dozens and dozens of homes he saw engulfed in flames from the video you're looking at. It is truly hard to watch. And to give you an idea of where that's at.
One of our neighbors has a first responder for a son. And he let us all know that our houses were gone that evening. For the kids, our youngest is 3, and she doesn't have the vocabulary to really understand. She asks a lot of questions about, are we going back to the house? Where are my stuffies? A lot of questions about, is the hotel going to burn down? Why is there a fire sprinkler on the ceiling of the hotel room? Is that because this place? I mean, you get this repetitive questions because she's trying to figure out, is any place going to burn down?
That's Cynthia Wallace from Louisville, Colorado. That same day, in nearby Superior, Steve Sarin was watching flames creep ever closer to his apartment building. He'd been driving back home from a work assignment in Fort Collins when he started getting phone alerts about the fire.
My phone started blowing up with text messages from my apartment complex saying that we were under stage 1 evacuation warning and local news app notifications that there was a wildfire a few miles from my house and that the 115 plus mile an hour wind gusts were driving it across the plains really, really quickly. We have lots of wildfires in Colorado, but where Superior is, we were under the false assumption that we're relatively protected. The mountains are about 8 to 10 miles away from us, where the majority of wildfires take place. They would have to cross 8 miles of grassy plains to get to us. It's just not something we regularly think of as a danger to our homes and our lives. I pulled into the apartment complex and there were about 30 of my neighbors sitting standing outside, just watching it come over the ridge that you can see from here. And the fire was blowing insanely fast. You could see it going, we were guessing 20 to 30 feet a second because of the wind. It was just flying.
Assuming the giant explosions I just saw were the gas station across the street exploding.
After about 20 minutes of just watching the neighborhood burn, the winds changed a little bit. The smoke was right in our faces and it jumped the road. We could see that it was in the neighborhood next to ours, probably about half a mile away, and just going house to house. We couldn't see the houses, but we could see the smoke coming closer and closer and closer. It was at that point that I realized that we weren't watching a wildfire anymore, that we were part of this situation.
This is unreal. But it's real close. It's less than 1,000 feet from my apartment building.
I don't think cities out west are prepared for the dangers of wildfires, that they can come at any time within a matter of an hour. I think we do a decent job out here in Colorado of preparing for wildfires that happen in the mountains. I've been out here in this area for 8 years, and the only time I ever thought that there might be a wildfire that affected me was 48 hours before this. I was driving up McCaslin Boulevard right near the Target and Costco that were destroyed. And I looked out at the grass over the plains and I thought, geez, that is really dry. I don't know if I've ever seen it that dry. If someone driving up this road flicks a cigarette, these neighborhoods are gonna be gone. And 48 hours later, I came to eat those words. It wasn't a cigarette, but it was just, I remember thinking, I just said that this could happen.
That was Steve Sarin from Superior, Colorado. They were two of the voices that we heard in a longer hour asking the question how urban and suburban areas in the West can become more fire resilient, from individual hardening of homes against fire to zoning regulations to statewide laws. We really went deep in our exploration about making cities ready for fire in the West. That was in our main hour show, so check it out in your podcast feed. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.